as you looked at your program, at the bulletin this morning, you would have found that we've got to do something with building today. Character building. In fact, we are called to be character builders. For those that were here last week, we remember that everything in this world is soon to pass away. And because everything is going to pass away, if we read 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, we realize that even human beings who are not in tune with the Word of God, which abideth forever, will also disappear. But here it gives us a wonderful comfort. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We want to know what this means today. That those who do the will of God have nothing to fear of this destruction. That they will abide forever. We learned that from 1 Corinthians 7 verse 31, if you recall last week, that the fashion of this world passeth away. But we are to use this world and not abuse it. Use this world for what? What was it last week that we concentrated on? To use this world to take something with us from this world. What is it that we can take with us from this world that we are to use this world to obtain? In Christ Object Lessons, we read it, and I'd like to repeat that now. Christ Object Lessons, page 332. It reads as follows. A character formed according to the divine likeness is the only treasure that we can take from this world to the next. Treasure? We all treasure something in life, don't we? The only treasure that you will take with you as this world passes away is the treasure of a character formed to the divine likeness. Those who are under the instruction of Christ in this world will take every divine attainment with them to the heavenly mansions. And in heaven we are continually to improve. How important then is the development of character in this life? How important? This is a treasure that we need to cherish. Character development. Character building. The heavenly intelligence, notice, the heavenly intelligence will work with the human agent who seeks with determined faith that perfection of character which will reach out to perfection in action. To everyone engaged in this work, Christ says, I am at your right hand to help you. We will pick up on a few points here that the heavenly intelligences are there to assist, and God himself is saying, I'm going to help you. Because this generation in which we live now, as no other generation before, has nothing to look forward to but imminent destruction. We brought that out very clearly last week. We then notice that we have very little time left. We are indeed living on borrowed time. We can see that many things are ready to burst around us. It can happen so quickly that the destruction of this earth can just suddenly unleash. And here I want to read a statement from Education, page 184, which will really help us to appreciate the time factor and the work to be done. It says here, "The day is at hand for the lessons to be learned, the work to be done, the transformation of character to be effected. The time remaining is but too brief a span." I can just about see some faces drop now. And that's what hit me when I read it. And this was written way back when Sister White wrote it. And she says in another statement, in page 67 of Early Writings, she says, "What we have been years learning, those that come new to the faith now will have to learn it in a few short months." Character change. Character. Something that is part of you must be transformed in a few short months. Why do I read this to you? Is it to frighten you? I mean, why should I stand here and read this to you to give you no hope? It looks as though there is no hope left, is there? I have to change my character. And what is character? It is the habits of your life. What is a habit in your life? You can't change very easily, can you? Sister White writes here, in Our High Calling, page 346, "The rapidly diminishing space of time between us and eternity should more deeply impress us. Every day that passes makes one less left us to complete our work of perfecting character." So every day that passes, I've got another day less to perfect my character. And this awareness in the time in which we are living now should deeply impress us. That's why I'm reading it. Remember what we studied last week, that our whole mind should be engrossed with this work. The imminence of the destruction and the need to develop character quickly has been put in the scriptures in Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. Here is this well-known scripture that the world is about to suffer a whirlwind. "After these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, 'Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.'" So, you've got this whirlwind about ready to destroy the earth. The earth and all that is in it is going to pass away. But here you've got an angel with a seal in his hand saying, "Wait a minute, Don't let it go yet. Hold it until we have sealed the servants of their God in their forehead. So the imminent destruction, according to this, is being held. What for? So that you and I, who could be destroyed together with the world, might learn of these angels and of the messages that they proclaim, that what did we need to do to be ready for this terrible thing, so that our characters will be perfected, so that my character will be sealed in the divine likeness of God's character. That's what their work is. And that was what I read in early writings, page 118. Remember this angel that has a seal in his hand, that is crying to the other angels, hold until we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. Early writings, page 118, is that statement that I just half quoted. I then saw the third angel. Said my accompanying angel, fearful is his work, awful is his mission. He is the angel that is to select the wheat from the tares and seal or bind the wheat for the heavenly garner. These things should engross the whole mind, the whole attention. We can see very vividly now that this is why, because these angels are about to let go of the winds of strife. And this angel who is giving another opportunity for the people living just now, he is saying to these other angels, wait a minute, we've still got to seal these servants in their forehead. We've got to develop their character so that they will be protected, that they will be God's people who will live forever while the world is being destroyed. There lies the simple message, and all those of us who know the three angels' messages are to be emergency character builders. That's what the three angels' messages are all about. We are to be emergency character builders. Emergency indeed. How long has this third angel's message been proclaimed? He first started when the winds of strife were about to be let go in about 1848-49, when they were going to have a world war and it was suddenly stopped. And we know how we got to the Second World War and then it was still terminated. And then we got to the first and then the second. And you saw the terrible test that the people of God went through in the First and the Second World War, whether they would go to war or not. And many of them did, and they lost their stand as God's true people, but there were faithful ones who would not. And their character was being severely tested through those war times. They even gave their life. And so here we are, after two times, and the third time, because there was a threat back there in 1848-49. So after three times, we're still watching the earth troubles being held back. And here we are in this generation. Emergency, isn't it? Shouldn't this engross my whole mind, my whole attention, to be emergency character builders? Do you become easily discouraged when you observe how far off the mark you are? You may sometimes think, why am I sitting in this congregation? Why am I even bothering? I'm not going to make it anyway. How many people have said this to me? Well, if you think you can say it, I can say it even better than you. I see myself as a terrible, arrogant man. And I don't see myself ever getting there. The more I look at Jesus and see his perfect character that I'm meant to be like, I shrivel. And here it's written in Upward Look, page 30. Let nothing, nothing discourage you and make you sad. Think of the goodness of God. Recount his favors and blessings. What comfort it is to know that the Lord wants us in his heavenly family. Who wants you there? I mean, I'd like to be there, wouldn't you? And how many times I think I'm not going to make it. But my Father in heaven wants me there. Let nothing, nothing discourage you. Nothing. Think of His goodness. Let that pulsate through your heart when you see yourself depraved and weak. How do you know that He wants you in heaven? How do you know? Is that just a wonderful thought? What does He say? What's written in John 3:16? For God so loved the world, that what? That He gave His only begotten Son, that what? Oh, isn't that wonderful? That whoever receives Him may have eternal life. He does not want me to perish. He wants me to have eternal life. That's expressed there. And also come with me in the lineup of the fact that everything is going to be destroyed with fire in 1 Peter 3 verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Apostle Peter just talks about the terrible destruction that we have imminent in front of us. And there in verse 9 is this wonderful statement. I'm sorry, it should be 2 Peter 3 verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He said He promised that He's going to do it, destruction. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is God with us? Long-suffering. What does that mean? I'm a pretty crook character. And I give the Lord a lot of trouble. And I cause Him much suffering. And He could very easily just turn around and say, give Him up. He's gone too far. But He is long suffering. He wants me to be there. And that's why He's waiting for me to come to repentance. There it is. He wants me to be there. He so loved the world that He gave us Jesus Christ. And therefore, if you turn back to Revelation 7, where we were reading, that is the reason why the angels are holding back the winds of strife. The winds of strife are happening because man is bent on his own destruction. We can see it so vividly today, can't we? Man is bent to destroy this planet. And he's not going to change his way. So, the angels are holding back the winds of strife. What for? Because the heavenly family wants us there. What a comfort. Hold the winds of strife until we have sealed the servants of God in their forehead. What's in your forehead? As the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We have to have a new heart. We have to have a new character. And so the Lord is holding back the winds of strife because He wants me to be there. He's trying so hard. He is so long-suffering. He's trying to turn my path and my character so that I will have a place with Him because He wants me there. Notice it says there, until we have sealed the servants of God in their forehead. Now we have an understanding of our theme here. Character builders, plural. Until we have sealed the servants of our God. Who are involved here? Is not this what I read in Christ Object Lessons? That angels are at work and Jesus said, I'm going to be your helper. So let's have a look at this. It's beautifully expressed in Isaiah 41 verse 10. You know, we're dealing with something that I have a great problem with. My character is locked into a certain way of living. I've got so many scars. I've got so many character baggage problems in my life, and I really can't even lift my head to correct it. And I'm really drawn into practices right now that I can't even see myself getting out of them. Isaiah 41 is a beautiful statement in reference to this. Comforting beyond computation. What happens when you see that the world is about ready to be destroyed and you aren't quite ready yet? What grabs you? Fear? Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Who? I will strengthen thee. You are so weak. I'm going to strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Do you love God when you hear that? It brings me to tears every time. When I realize that I am so weak and I'm locked into this situation and I can't get myself out of it and I'm lying at the bottom of the pit just panting away thinking, there's no chance. And God comes along and says, don't fear. I'm with you. I am going to strengthen you. Don't be dismayed. I will help you. That's why God is speaking to us this morning. And He is just waiting long-sufferingly for me to say, all right, Lord, I will continue to stay with you. So then, there are angels, and there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and there's you and me. Character builders. Look at the way it's put here in Acts of the Apostles, the book from Inspiration, Acts of the Apostles, page 482 to 483. Here is the character building exercise. Very powerfully put. He says, I'm going to help you, but we're going to work together. If you can't do it on your own, of course you can't. I'm going to strengthen you. Now let's get to work. Page 483 of Acts of the Apostles. It says, the work of gaining salvation is one of co-partnership, a joint operation. There is to be cooperation between God and the repentant sinner. Are you repentant? If you're repentant, then God can work with you. If you think, what's wrong with me? I'm good enough. Then you're not repentant, are you? But when you fall weak and helpless at the foot of the cross and you realize your weakness, are you not repentant as you stay there and say, Lord, I need your help? So, it says there is cooperation between God and the repentant sinner. This is necessary for the formation of right principles in the character. Character builders. There needs to be cooperation between me and God and the angels. They are character builders. Cooperation for the formation of right principles in the character. Man is to make earnest efforts to overcome that which hinders him from attaining to perfection. There is God's perfect character and I can't make it. I've got to make an effort. I've got to strive to reach that. It's a work. But he is wholly dependent upon God for success. And this is what we're trying to understand. How am I going to work together with God and how is God going to work with me so we can make a success of this character building? Human effort of itself is not sufficient. without the aid of divine power, it avails nothing. Do I need to convince you of that? We don't need convincing of that. So, therefore, God works and man works. Resistance of temptation must come from man. So I've got to identify the temptation with God's help, and then I've got to say no. But oh, it's so easy to fall, isn't it? Whatever it comes. So, the resistance must come from me, who must draw his power from God. On the one side, there is infinite wisdom, compassion. What sort of wisdom? Infinite. It's infinity. Infinite compassion, infinite wisdom and power. On the other, weakness, sinfulness, absolute helplessness. Doesn't that encourage you? You're going to make it. No matter how absolutely helpless you feel, no matter how absolutely sinful you feel, and how weak you are, absolute helplessness. And yet I've got to make an effort. Interesting, isn't it? God wishes us to have the mastery over ourselves, but He cannot help us. Did you catch that? He cannot help us without our consent and cooperation. Do you consent? Are you prepared to cooperate? Then He can help you. Other than that, you don't even start. Nothing will happen. Our consent. And that must come from the depths of our hearts. Definitely, Lord, I want you. And then cooperation. The divine spirit works through the powers and faculties given to man. That's interesting. You have powers. You have faculties. You're an intelligent being. You have ability to think. You have a brain. You have muscle. You have these things. God's spirit will work through those things. And that really, when I first really discovered that, I realized, oh, okay. So I must exercise my determination, and only when I do that will I experience God's help. Until I do that, nothing will happen. And that was the man at the pool of Bethesda, remember? What did God say to him, that paralytic? Arise, take up your bed, and walk. He might have said, I've tried that many times, forget it. How many times do we say that to God? God says, do this. No, sir, sorry, can never do that. Of course not, because you don't consent to do it. But if you come, if God says to you, I want you to do this, and you say, all right, Lord, I will. And in total dependence on His promise, you go forward, wait and see what happens. And some of us have already experienced this. We have experienced success to some degree, and then we don't anymore because we stop. We don't continue. We've had a beautiful inflow of conviction, and the Lord has helped me so far, and it's given me a new boost, and then the next minute I'm discouraged again. Why? Because I've stopped. I haven't continued to do just that. That's why. No other reason. None whatsoever. It goes on to say, of ourselves we are unable to bring the purposes and desires and inclinations into harmony with the will of God. What is that? My purposes and my desires and my inclinations of my own self I cannot bring into harmony with God. But if we are willing to be made willing, the Savior will accomplish this for us, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. He who would build up a strong, symmetrical character. We're right on the theme, aren't we? He who would build up a strong, symmetrical character, he who would be a well-balanced Christian, now follow this, must give all and do all for Christ. For the Redeemer will not accept divided service. God can't do anything with you to build up your character and my character unless I am totally engrossed with that work. Everything. That's what we studied last week. Totally engrossed with the work of the third angel's message. Then and then only can the Lord carry us through. He must study the Word. Daily he must learn the meaning of self-surrender. Daily. He must know the meaning of self-surrender. He must study the Word, learning its meaning and obeying its precepts. That's how it's done. Giving all for God, studying the Word, learning the meaning of self-surrender, learning the meaning of the Word and obeying its precepts. Thus, he may reach the standard of Christian excellence. How may you do it? In the way that we have just pictured here. Day by day, God works with him, perfecting the character that is to stand in the time of final test. Day by day, with my whole mind engrossed with this work. And day by day, the believer is working out before men and angels a sublime experiment, showing what the gospel can do for the fallen human being. What a joy it is for us to be in God's hand to demonstrate this kind of sublime experiment. You know, it's a great joy to see somebody totally decrepit being lifted up and making progress, and you stand there and go, how did that happen? And indeed, it took that person total commitment. A total willingness to surrender everything that he's done in the past. Totally. Somebody said this to me not so very, very long ago, and I've seen the results of it. I'm mush. I'm nothing. I've got to start all over again. I thought, these are words that is going to progress. It's going to happen if that person sticks true to that. And that's the way we will progress. I must start all over again. I have much to unlearn and much to learn again. Then I'm assured that I'm going to get there because I'm surrendering to the power of God as we've just been reading. So, as we read there, God works and man works. And if God works, let's turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 14 and see the Bible account of this reality that we've just been reading there. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. Philippians 2, verses 12 to 14. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputing. There is power in these words. We are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's the part that I have to play. Then God works in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Therefore, as you are trying to reach the standard of God's character so that he can be pleased with it, God is working in you to achieve that, and all that you need to do is to work out by your effort what he is working internally. We've already read all the detail of that. Therefore, do all things without murmurings and complainings, disputings. So easy to do. You can't expect me to do that. Problem number one. And then, let me see now. I don't quite know whether that's right. I'm going to dispute that. How many people do this? We're losing the beginning of the battle right from the start. Do what he says without murmurings or disputings. He will work in you. And if he will do this, knowing that now the angels are holding back the winds of strife, what does he have to do now with the little time that's left? It's written again. Romans 9, verse 27 and 28. Romans 9, verse 27 and 28. And here is the message for the last generation, because they are the children of Israel from whom a remnant will be saved. Who are the remnant? Out of the Israelites, you just read Revelation chapter 7. The 12 tribes, 144,000. The people who are responding to the message of the third angel, who are being engrossed with it totally. Here it is. What will the Lord do in their character building? Romans chapter 9, 27. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Have you got much time left to develop your character? Who is going to do the work in you? The Lord. And you have to cooperate with him, because you want to be there and he wants you to be there. Therefore, he will cut short his work and hasten it inside of you. This is a comforting message. In other words, although I've got to work so fast, I've got somebody who's going to work fast with me. And I will be able to be saved at last, even though I can't see myself changing just yet, but he's going to do it. Indeed. So, let's nail something down very firmly. You want to be there. Is there anybody that does not want to be there in heaven one day? Who's going to be there but he who is holy as God is holy? So I want to be there. And God wants me to be there too. Are you ready then? How will he do it for you to know how to cooperate with him? We've already got the basics here. But now let's have a look how he actually reveals it for the people who are going through this last moment of Earth's history. How is he going to do it? What must you brace yourself to accept if you're going to come together with him through to the end? What must you brace yourself to accept in this character building? Well, let's start off with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2. We see that God is indeed working through the wonderful work of the gospel. People say to you, it's not works, it's righteousness by faith. Don't worry, you're going to get there. And they lull the people to sleep in a state of carnal security. Laodicea, perfect. Everything, we're going to get there anyway. Don't worry. How are we just to get there? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Don't forget that. Don't let them lull you to sleep. It is the gospel indeed. It is a gift. But notice the way it's written here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Verse 9 says, verse 8, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are now, listen to this, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So how is God going to get me there? It says here, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So where does that turn your attention to in the work of character building? What did God do in Christ Jesus? This is where our scripture reading comes into place. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. This is where the beautiful message of the atonement that we love so much in this congregation comes into full and active reality. Jesus was the one in whom He worked to bring out a perfect character. It's a gift, the gift of Jesus. And as I look to Jesus, I will be created in Christ Jesus. That's the way we read it, wasn't it? It's a gift, not of works. It's a gift, but it's God working in me as I cooperate with Him. So vivid here, so simple, and here is the work. Verse 8. Though He were a son. How did God work with Jesus? Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Now we get the truth. The truth is that we are to be made perfect to do the things that God wants us to do in Christ Jesus. So I'm looking to Jesus and I see what He does with Him. Jesus had to learn obedience by the things which He suffered. So as I watch Him and I behold Him, then God can work inside of me because I'm watching what He's doing with Jesus. That's why I need to study the Bible. Remember, that's what we read. We must understand what it means to be unselfish, to be surrendering. Just as Jesus was. That's how you learn it, by studying Him in the Bible. And as you study Jesus in the Bible, you see how self-sacrificing He was and submissive to the Father. He said, of my own self, I can do nothing. I surrender. Whatever God says, that's what I do. And if you do what Jesus did, then God will work in you to do what He did in Jesus. The things that He suffered, He learned obedience. And so He became the author of this salvation, of this character building. So you're following the work of God in Jesus Christ. You could never have worked it out yourself. You have to study it in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus is so important to me, brethren and sisters. That's why Jesus must become so important to you. Because there is an action of God within Jesus that you need to read the book of which He was the author. He was the author of this salvation. And I need to intelligently read Jesus. And as I intelligently read Him, I will know how I'm going to become in the likeness of His character. By beholding, I will be changed. So is that how God will work in you? Let's just cross-reference that with Revelation 7 verse 14. The people of the 144,000. How will they get there? Revelation 7 verse 14. What did they do to get there? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. He said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So God works in us. We are His workmanship through Jesus Christ, through the blood of the Lamb. Study Him, observe Him, and see how God did it. And you will wash your character in that transaction, in the blood of the Lamb. They overcame Him by the word of their testimony and by the faith of Jesus Christ, didn't they? It's another statement. And the picture as it's written here, they came through great tribulation. How did Jesus learn? By the things which He suffered. So then, great tribulation. You want to have a character change? Quick, emergency? How is God going to do it? Don't worry if you feel that you will never get there. God's going to make sure. How is He going to make sure? Through great tribulation. Observe a sample of how God does it. Here is a sample of a character defect that is written of in the spirit of prophecy, and it comes from the book Fundamentals of Christian Education, page 304. Fundamentals of Christian Education. Now, here's a bit of a mind exercise so that you can understand how God is going to do it for you. It's written here in this book, Fundamentals of Christian Education, page 304. It says, "There are many a youth," she says, "who are full of their own confidence. They've been flattered in their childhood," and that's the case with the majority of youth today, and me too, because we've all been brought up in this modern generation. The world owes us something. We don't really have to try hard, do we? "Believing he is naturally gifted, he thinks there is no necessity for putting his mind to the task of mastering his lesson. And before he is aware, he is fast in the snare of Satan." His total wrong outlook in life catches him in the snare of Satan. "God permits him to be attacked by the enemy in order that he may understand his own weakness. He is permitted to make some decided blunders." Have you made plenty of blunders? God has permitted Satan to help you do that. What for? So that you can understand your total weakness. Because unless you make the blunder, do you think you're going to understand your weakness? Oh, how many times I've driven down the road and I cried to the Lord, "Lord, I am so hopeless. I am so weak, and the terrible blunder that I've made has just absolutely devastated my trust in myself." And I thought, "I haven't got the slightest power to do anything right, Lord." So He permitted me to do that, so that I could say that with deep heart meaning. But, and now notice, when people see somebody writhing like that, how do they usually say when they're so sure that they're all right? They look down on that person and judge him. Listen to what it says. "But when he is writhing under a sense of his own weakness, he is not to be judged harshly." How is God now going to help him? Listen carefully. "This is the time above all others." You know, when somebody's right down there. "This is the time above all others when he needs a judicious counselor, a true friend who has discernment of character." Listen to this. "This is the time when he needs a friend who is led by the Spirit of God, and who will deal patiently and faithfully with the erring, and lift up the soul that is bowed down. He is not to be lifted up by the aid of flattery. No one is authorized to deal out the soul this delusive intoxication of Satan. Rather, he is to be pointed to the first rounds of the ladder, and his stumbling feet are to be placed on the lowest round of the ladder of progress." And what's that? Where Jesus came. Wasn't he the ladder? And where was Jesus in Gethsemane and the cross? That's where we are to point this weak and helpless soul. And who is to point him there? The church. In the church there are to be ministers and people who have discernment of character, who will never judge another person because he has floundered and fallen. How easy that is to do. How easy that is to say, well, they're just finished. Forget about them. But to come close to them, are you in need? And without even saying it, letting them feel, I'm right here when you're ready. And that person will ultimately, if he's genuinely yearning to come out of his weakness, he will come to the church for counsel. He will come through God's agency, as you read it there in Ephesians, that God has given some pastors, some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, etc., etc., teachers, for what? For the perfecting. For the perfecting of his people. So God works to bring people in a position where they can be benefited from his loving activity of love, patience, and character building capabilities. So now we've got the church as character builders. And how the character builders need to be able to understand that work. How few today do. But God makes sure that he has his people still on earth. Indeed, we read in early writings, page 46, paragraph 1, and I want to read it here. I want to take this time very carefully, brothers and sisters, because this is the way the Lord is working with us today. If we think we're having a hard time, it's because God is making sure we're going to get there. When you go through tribulation of such a degree you think you've had it, that's exactly the way God is working in you to bring you quickly to a character that he wants you to have. Here it is in early writings, page 46, paragraph 1. Very precious statement. In this time of trial, right now, under the three angels she's talking about, we need to be encouraged and to comfort one another. That's what God wants to do through his church. We need to be encouraged and comforted by one another. We need to be friends to each other. Or we'll see a lot of sin. Instead of placing that man under censure, instead of putting them up before the church board, we go patiently and work and labor for that soul to encourage them, to lift them up out of their blunder. And boom, we make some big blunders. And the blunder is a sin, isn't it? There's a difference between a sin of deliberation and a sin of weakness. Always remember that. And before you go and condemn somebody and ostracize them or censure them, go and find out whether it was a weakness. Be a discerner of character. So we need this today. The temptations of Satan are greater now than ever before. For he knows that his time is short. Satan knows how short the time is. And he's trying to keep us from getting there by keeping us on the wrong track long enough. So then finally it's too late. That's what he wants. So what is God doing to try and prevent this from happening? God has shown me that he has given his people a bitter cup to drink, to purify and cleanse them. It is a bitter draught, and they can make it still more bitter by murmuring, complaining, and repining. Do all things without murmuring, remember? So don't make it so hard for ourselves. If it's going to be a hard time, look at Jesus, he went through a hard time. He was really suffering. Nobody has to suffer as much as Jesus suffered. And so as I look to him, I will humbly bow under the bitter cup that Jesus himself had to drink to the dregs, didn't he? Right to the last dreg. Every bitter cup that you and I have to drink, he drank. And so we have this wonderful comforter beside us, and we need to understand this in his church, the body of Christ. It is a bitter draught, and they can make it still more bitter. But those who receive it thus must have another draught, for the first does not have its designed effect upon the heart. And if the second does not affect the work, then they must have another and another. How often does it have to happen? Until it does have its designed effect. We just read it there. We are brought down to see our weakness. And until we see our weakness and our weakness, until we realize there is truly no hope in my strength, then I will cry to God in the way that is going to be productive. Then it will have its designed effect, or they will be left filthy, impure in heart. Character deficiency. Finished. I saw that this bitter cup can be sweetened by patience. What? Patience. Here is the patience of the saints. Endurance and prayer, and that it will have its designed effect upon the hearts of those who thus receive it. Here is God's wonderful answer to perfecting our character, to building it up, and the angels and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and the church and yourself are to be active in it. Yes, the Lord will bring us through. The only danger is that on the way we might just say, it's too hard. I can't endure anymore. And there are people who have said this to me. And they shrivel away. But if they stay with it, if they remain under God's way of working to bring us through to a victorious end, we will endure unto the end. And what does it say in Matthew 24, verse 13? Who knows it? Because iniquity abound, the love of many shall wax cold in this generation. But what does he say? But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So here's how God works. So I'm going to have to endure together with Jesus. Right through to the very end, and that is my salvation, because I'm going to come through tribulation to perfection of character. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. If I'm a co-worker with Jesus Christ, with God in character building, stay with Him and endure the tribulation with Him. It might be painful. It might be uncomfortable. It might even mean some sleepless nights. Doesn't matter. I know what I'm having a sleepless night over. To learn to relax. To learn to let God take over in my life. Instead of me tenaciously thinking I can do it all in my own strength. No. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. Romans 5, 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Do you? Do you enjoy a hard time? The true Christian does. He glories in tribulation. Why? Because it says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Is that character? Ah. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. Isn't that what you need just now? So you go through this whole thing, and then verse, it says in verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because if you hope in God, will He carry you through? You won't be ashamed at the end of the road. You will come forth perfected. So go right through with it to the bitter end. And I promise you, brethren and sisters, no, God promises you that it's going to be a bitter end. It's going to be a bitter end. And here it is, the time of Jacob's trouble. Great controversy deals with that on page 621. Remember we read before that God will let Satan do this? Now when probation has closed, He will have purged us enough to have no more sin. But that's not the end of the character development. It will continue through the time of the plagues, which is the time of Jacob's trouble. And what's he still trying to do with my character? Listen here. Great controversy, page 621, and it starts from paragraph 1. It says, Jacob's history is an assurance that God will not cast off those who have been deceived and tempted and betrayed into sin. Isn't that comforting? But who have returned unto Him with true repentance. while Satan seeks to destroy this class, God will send his angels to comfort, protect them in the time of peril. The assaults of Satan are fierce and determined. His delusions are terrible. But the Lord's eye is upon his people, and his ear listens to their cries. Their affliction is great. The flames of the furnace seem about to consume them. Have you ever felt like that? You're just about ready to get, your heart just about gives up. You know? I've been through that. It's dreadful. The pressure was so much that you thought you were going to die. But I'm still here. God's made sure of that. But the refiner will bring them forth as gold tried in the fire. God's love for his children during the period of their severest trial is as strong and tender as in the days of their sunniest prosperity. Beautiful. So when you've been all prosperous and the Lord has given you a sense of his closeness, you think, oh, that's wonderful. And then you feel all tribulous and all oppressed and hopeless. And you think, I think God's given me up. Have you ever said that? God's presence is there. And you've got to remember this. When you feel all depressed and all overwhelmed because of your sins, God is there. He has not forsaken you. Why do I know this? Because we've just understood that in the tribulation, he has permitted Satan to take me down that path. Until I'm all weak and hopeless. That's the way God's doing it. So let me cooperate with him. Let me rejoice that he is there. This experience of tribulation is needful for them to be placed in the furnace of fire. Their earth, here it is. What's got to be left to be removed in the time of trouble? Their earthliness must be consumed. What must be consumed? Not just sin now, earthliness. That the image of Christ may be perfectly reflected character. The perfect reflection of Christ's character. Brothers and sisters, God is going to make sure he's going to get us there. And I thank God for it. So whatever happens, I'm going to get there. I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to stay with his people. I'm going to stay with the message. It's going to take me through to the most bitterest time of persecution and destruction. And Satan's going to have a heyday in trying to totally demoralize you. And God's going to let him. That's the way he's going to perfect your character. And every time I go through these experiences, I remember what I'm preaching to you. I hope you will remember when you go through it, what I've preached to you. God is right there with you, right to the bitterest end. And then you will be among those of Revelation 14:12. What's it say there? Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. What was that? To learn by the things which he suffered to be perfectly obedient. And when the Lord's finally finished with you and me, he's got a perfect character there. And we've got a right to be with him forever. You want to be there? Learn to suffer. Be glad to suffer. Regard it a joy to suffer because you're suffering with Jesus. Be of good courage. Follow the character builders. The five wise virgins followed the character builders. The company in the light. The other foolish virgins didn't have character desire enough. They didn't have it inside of them, the oil. So they left that company and then they wanted to get in afterwards. It was too late. So let us finish with this powerful statement that may encourage us and we can use. I'd really like you to learn this scripture off by heart when you need it most. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 35 to 39. Hebrews chapter 10. 35-39. Remember, we need to endure. We need to learn hope through the endurance process. And here it is now. Don't walk out of God's wonderful ways of helping you. Verse 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. What causes God to have no pleasure in us? If we draw back. He's all right. He's got no problems with your blunders. He's got no problems with our character defects. What doesn't please him is if you withdraw. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen.